Welcome to Real Life. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, and you're listening to the Real Life LA podcast, coming to you from the Southern California foothills town of Glendora, California. We're a church for everyone, and we exist to lead lost people to Jesus, building a community of grace with a God-sized vision that reaches from generation to generation. As you hear today's message, we pray that God speaks specifically to you, opens your heart, and shows you how to live each day with more joy, beauty, and wonder.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Life. It is an exciting morning and I am Kevin. I'm one of your pastors here at the church. Hopefully your Father's Day weekend, your holiday weekend is off to a great start. This is the morning that we get to say, thank you to all the dads and the granddads in the room. And so if that's you, we just want to just take a moment and just say thank you for all the things you do to raise your family and to love us and to care for us and to help raise and sustain us. And so I got my North Carolina bow tie on this morning in honor of my dad and my grandpa who are out in North Carolina, and so that's my way of saying tribute to them this morning. But we do say thank you to all the dads in the room here this morning. Now, it's been a busy week here at Real Life. We've taken a ton of middle schoolers, high schoolers down to the beach, and we packed out the biggest theater in town for The Incredibles yesterday, which was super fun if you went to those. So we've been a little bit busy this week, and here we are. It's Sunday morning. And I'm getting the chance to kick off a series called Supernatural. We're wrapping up Healthy Series, and we're moving into this new one called Supernatural. And I'll tell you this, you know what's really supernatural is the fact that Jim Miller is on vacation. That, to me, is a supernatural thing, right? That guy, oh my gosh, he's not here. He might be watching online, so who knows, he might hear this. But, Jim's a hard worker. He's worked so hard over the last 2 years to get this church started and to get this all going for us here. And so finally, he takes a vacation. So him and the family, they're out in England, and I think they're up in Scotland today. So hopefully they're having, a tea and crumpet and some tea with us this morning, maybe watching online. You know what would be really cool is if Pastor Jim came back with a British accent. That would be really, really cool. But if you were watching his Instagram live feed, he's actually really bad at speaking in a British accent. So I don't really have a lot of hope for that. But hopefully they're having a great time. We'll see them back in a couple weeks. But here we are. We're kicking off Supernatural, right? We're going to be talking about all things supernatural. And I know some of you might be starting to think in your brain, gosh, that's kind of the weird stuff, right? Like, does that mean that as a church that we're going to, we're going to be getting kind of crazy and a little weird? Maybe. It could be. We might. I don't know. I'm not God, so I have no power to say whether we will or we will not. But if the ushers could go ahead and bring up the basket of poisonous snakes, I'm going to be doing some snake tricks here this morning for you guys. I'm just kidding. Not bringing up the snakes. But when we think about supernatural, like a lot of us start to squirm in our seats, right? Because when we think supernatural, we think rituals and the underworld and Satan and archangels and all this stuff. And some of us start to go a little uncomfortable, right? And see, as the church has been progressing through the centuries, we kind of have a chance to, stick with either one side or the other on the issue. The first side is some of us, we're so wrapped up in the supernatural that we see Satan everywhere. Right, we get into a wreck, or we don't get the promotion, or we fail a test, and we're like, get behind me, Satan. We're all about it, right? And it could just be because you're a bad driver, right? Or maybe you didn't study. And so the other side of the token, and this is probably where a lot of us are, is that we don't really get it. We don't really understand the supernatural world. And so a lot of us are just fine kind of going, you know what? Maybe it happens. Like, maybe there's some supernatural things out there, but I'd just rather not talk about it. And I think that's where a lot of us land. And so I would imagine that some of you here in the room today maybe have had some experiences with the supernatural. A Pew study of about 4,000 adults found that almost 29% of the people that they surveyed had some sort of experience or some sort of a moment where they felt like they connected with someone who was dead, who had passed away. And that's a significant number. That's almost a third. And so there might be some of you here today who's had some sort of experience with the supernatural, and you're thinking, I just don't know how to talk about it, right? How do you talk about something that's kind of strange? It's kind of abnormal. And if that's you, I just want to say first off, that's okay, right? That's okay. You can talk about those things, and that's what we're going to be doing over this summer. We're going to be looking at things like Satan and angels and demons and how to listen to God and how to experience a supernatural, because I believe in a God who oversees all of that. The supernatural world is out there. Today, we're going to be opening up the scriptures, and we're going to take a look at the fact that for all periods of time, in the past, present, and future, that the supernatural world is around us. But there's a powerful and a mighty God and Father of them all who rules over it all. And that's such a fitting tribute, even on Father's Day, to know that we follow a God like that. And so this morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And so if you have a Bible, that's where we're going to be this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. But you know, I think back at some of my most awkward moments that I've experienced in the church. The first one was when I was at Marquette University. I had just moved from North Carolina to Wisconsin, and I grew up Southern Baptist in the Bible Belt. I was very staunch about that. I was a Baptist. I go up to Wisconsin, and I learned that there's not a lot of Baptists up there. At least not a lot of Southern Baptists. And so I ended up at this Catholic school, and I found myself on this sort of Catholic spirituality retreat. And I'm on the retreat, and I'm in the middle of this big room, and we're all sitting in a circle, and there's a bowl of water in the middle of this room. And I'd never experienced this before. People started washing each other's feet. They would come up one at a time and take the water and wash a friend's foot. And then they would anoint them with holy oil. And I remember thinking, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Right? I mean, let's just think about this. A common communal pot of water that we're putting our gross, dirty, stinky feet in and washing. Yeah, I'm good. Like, I'm not going to put my foot in the pot. I didn't, right? And so you had people who were like, you know, we get around the whole room. It was me and this one other girl, only non-Catholics in the room. And we're just like, we're not doing this, right? And the guy next to me is nudging, like, you got to go, right? We're the only two left. And I was like, nope, not going. And they got really awkward. Eventually, they just kind of shut it down because they realized this guy wasn't going. And that was the first time. The second time was when I was in a tent revival in England. I was at this sort of charismatic conference, and a bunch of teenagers were in the room, and a bunch of adults, and they called up people. They said, if you want to be healed, come up on stage because we're going to have a healing service. And sure enough, all these people started going up on stage. People had migraines, people had back pain for years, got up on stage, and they prayed over them. And some of them walked off that stage that day saying that they were healed of their afflictions and of their disease and of their ailments. And I remember just thinking, this is kind of strange. One girl was even slain in the spirit. She just fell over, apparently from the Holy Spirit just empowering her. I saw it happen. It happened right up on stage, and I remember sitting there like super uncomfortable. I'd never seen anything like that before. I saw it happen. It was there, but I don't really know how to talk about it. And I imagine that's how many of you are here today. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to see something supernatural happen. And this morning, we're going to see three things that we can do to experience the power of God. First, we are going to check your method. Secondly, we have to get dressed for the party. And third, you have to open up your eyes. That's what we're going to be looking at here this morning. But before we open up the text, would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, as we open up your word this morning, may we gratefully receive it. May we clearly understand it. And may we faithfully apply it to our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now a reading from Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I want to stop there, right? Now, this is a little bit crazy. When was the last time, you know, here at Real Life, you were sitting in your chair and the doors blow open and the curtains go flying and a wind comes flashing through, your hair is flying, and little balls of fire come just floating through the room, and they start to separate out and they land sort of just above your head. Now, I don't know about you, I haven't seen that. But that sounds so cool, right? Like, think about this. You know, when we read through the scriptures, you know, we sort of read this, we're like, yeah, and then the balls of fire, they came flying through, and we're like, yeah, that's nice, you know. But no, like, when we read through scripture, we should be appalled at some of the things that's going on, because I certainly am. I would imagine that if that happened today, many of us would be really freaked out, but also be really cool. Let's keep going. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, and they were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they ask, aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phyra and Pamphylia, got some hard city names in here, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. And that's pretty cool. I love that. And so some were amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, what does this mean? Some made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. I love that. And Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, addressed the crowd, said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you what's happening. Listen carefully to my words. These people are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he quotes the Old Testament, where the prophet Joel says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's really unique. Because at the end of Peter's sermon, do you know how many people came to follow Jesus that day? 3,000. Not 3, not 30, not 300. 3,000 people experienced the balls of fire, heard Peter's message, and said, I'm in to Jesus. Sign me up. That's incredible. That's not Peter. That's the supernatural power of God. And that same supernatural power of God is very present today, but we have to be willing to embrace that. And so this morning, as we open up these ideas that we can experience that, I want you just to begin to wrap your mind about the normality of that happening, even as strange as it is. If you want to experience the supernatural power of God in your life, first, you have to check your method of approach. You have to check your method of approach. What is your method of approaching God? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jim talked to us about how there's 3 kinds of Christians in the world today. There's the side huggers, there's the shallow end Christians, and then there's the deep end Christians. Right, and I think a lot of us are kind of falling into the category of the side hug, maybe the shallow end. Because when we look out in the world around today, we don't see 3,000 people in one crowd in one day coming to know Jesus. And I think that's because the church has felt kind of complacent in sitting in the shallow end. Right, we like to keep Jesus out of sight, or we like to give him a side hug. We like the idea of kind of the safeness of Jesus, but we can still walk away when we want to. Or maybe we are in the pool, but we're sitting in the shallow end with our floaties on and our Mai Tai and our pina colada, our sunglasses and our sunscreen, and we're very happy just kind of communing in the shallow end, right? Because it's safe. But that's actually not what the early church did. Their method of approach was dive right in, go to the deep end, take off your floaties, throw on your goggles, dive in, because that is what it means to follow Jesus. How did they do it? They sold all their possessions. They didn't have a home. They gave everything that they had to the poor. They went around serving people. They went from village to village saying, follow us, follow Jesus. And then they did miracles and they did healings and people were raised from the dead and it was miraculous. That was a very different way of living than many of us have chosen to live in our Christian lives. See, we're fine coming to Real Life on Sunday, but then we sort of leave and we go back to our regular lives. We've so compartmentalized our Christianity that we haven't dove all in. So how do we dive all in? We have to check our method of approach. In the 1700s, there was a guy named John Wesley who sought to challenge the religious assumption of his day. While he was in Oxford, England, he gathered with a group of people and together they would share meals and they would take communion and they would pray and they would study the Bible. And that became a methodical approach to finding God. And that's why we have the Methodist Church today. They had a method of following God that shook up the religious assumptions of that day. Right now, how many of you here today, raise your hands if you would say, I would love to see the power of God in my life. Raise your hands if that's you. All right, it's okay to raise your hands in church. All right, this is not like a stoic place, right? I saw a lot of hands out there, right? Why? Because we're very comfortable with the idea of Jesus showing up in our life if it means that he's going to show up and do something powerful, right? I don't think any of us would just sort of sit here and go, you know, if we were to say, hey, do you want to see God show up in your life? We'd go, nah, I'm good, right? Like many of us would go, yeah, right? I mean, at the very least, we're going to be curious, you know, just to see what would happen, even if we're not all bought into who Jesus is. We're curious enough to see what would happen. And at the best case, yeah, we're going to be super empowered by who God is. So I think many of us would be willing to experience the power of God. What is your method of approach? If you want to experience the supernatural power of God, you have to move from the shallow end to the deep end. You have to dive all in. You have to experience that supernatural power through community, through a small group, right? Maybe it's joining a group of people and diving into the scriptures. This past week, I was talking with someone who told me that they had read the Bible for every day for 130 days. 130 days they read through the scriptures. And I said, well, tell me about that. He said, well, I see God everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I see God in ways that I've never thought of seeing God. Places that I've been before, I've never seen God. And then I see him show up. This person said, you know what? After reading the Bible, I never thought I would do this, but I read through it and I'm seeing God everywhere. I want to challenge you. You want to dive all in? Join a small group, but also go and commit to reading the Bible every day. Read through these stories of Jesus and the miraculous and supernatural things that Jesus did. You do that for 130 days in a row, I guarantee that God will show up in your life. I would be even willing to give you money. So if you do that, and you at the end of 130 days don't see God show up in your life, come to me, because up here I have a check for $50, and it's written out to no one right now. It could be written out to you. I will give you $50 if you go through the Bible for 130 days and God doesn't do something in your life. It's yours. No strings. You can take it. I'm that serious about this. God will show up. We have to dive all in. See, we have to check our method, but if you want to also experience the supernatural power of God in your life, you have to get dressed for the party. Well, what do I mean by that? You see, Jesus was the kind of God who went around starting a lot of parties. I've said that before because I truly believe that Jesus was a party starter, right? People would follow, they would flock, and then some crazy things happened at those parties. People were raised from the dead, and people were healed, and it got a little crazy. He turned some water into wine, right? That'll start a party, right? Jesus did some crazy things and a lot of people followed him. But see, the question is not whether God will do something in your life. The question is not, can God do something powerful in your life? The question is, are you ready for God to do something in your life? See, if you want God to do something in your life, you have to get dressed now for what's going to happen later. And I have a feeling that God's the kind of God that's going to show up. Why? Because he's done it time and time and time again. You have to get dressed now for God to show up later. What do I mean by that? A couple years ago, I was in seminary. I was in Dallas, and I got invited to a wedding of a friend on the East Coast. So I flew from Dallas to the East Coast to go to this wedding. I was kind of poor. I didn't really have a lot of money. I was a seminary student. All of it went to seminary. So I barely could afford the flight, get out there though. And I was under 25, so I couldn't rent a car without at least paying, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of, you know, young driver surcharges. I'm sure there's a reason for that, because young drivers are bad. But anyway, so I had to convince my grandma to rent me the car. So she goes and rents me the car, and then she hands me the keys. Probably the worst idea ever, but she did it. It was fine. So anyway, so I drive down to Atlanta to go to this wedding. This wedding is, it's on a Saturday afternoon, the middle of summer in Georgia, and I couldn't afford to stay at the nice posh resort that the wedding was held at, so I just went to go hang out for the day. And so here I am, I'm in the middle of Georgia, the middle of summer on a Saturday afternoon, full tuxedo, bow tie, you know, Oxfords, and I just, you know, big jacket, and I'm walking into this nice hotel. But, you know, Saturday afternoon, this is a hotel centered around a resort-style pool. Everyone's out in their flip-flops and their bathing suits and their sunglasses. And here I am walking up in like a full tux, right? Have you ever had that moment where you just feel like everyone's staring at you? Like, right at you? That was me in that moment, right? And I get kind of super, like, I get super uncomfortable in those kind of moments. So I felt like I had to, like, I'm going to a wedding, right? Like, no one cared, right? But they were looking, right? I was like, going to a wedding, right? And I knew I looked ridiculous, right? Because everyone else was wearing swim trunks, and here I am in a full tux. I knew that I looked different, but only because they didn't know where I was going. You see, when people know where you're going, it makes more sense. We have to get dressed now for the party that's going to happen later. And see, there's something crazy that happens when that happens. God is the kind of God who's going to show up and do something supernatural. I think God's going to show up and do something supernatural right here at Real Life. And what if we were the kind of church that when you go around town, people look at you and they look at me and they go, dude, what's happening over there at that Real Life place? You guys are kind of crazy. And we're going to say, yes, we are a little bit crazy because God shows up. And we could be the kind of church that says, you know what, God shows up here, and God's going to show up in the lives of people who aren't even at this church today because we love everyone and they're next. And that's the kind of God that we follow. But we have to get dressed for the party. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. You see, there's a real battle going on in the world around us. If we were to open up our eyes, we would see that battle around us. But our battle's not against politicians. Our battle is not against Donald Trump or the Republicans or the Democrats. Our battle's not against, you know, secular culture. Our battle's not against, you know, that rap music with all the potty words we don't like but our kids love. Our battle's not against our bad boss. Our battle's not against a coworker. Our battle is not against our obnoxious kid when they are driving us crazy. Our battle is not those kind of battles. You see, there are greater things around us, but we have to open up our eyes. You cannot stand on your own against the battles that Satan wages against God, but God is on your side, and he wins that battle in the end. Spoiler alert, we have to open up our eyes. If you want to experience the supernatural power of God, you have to open your eyes. You see, the world around us is a world that we can't see. In the Old Testament, there's a story about a battle that's faced between Israel and the king of Aram. And they're about to go into battle. They're in their city, and one day this guy goes out, this servant, and he has a conversation with a prophet named Elisha. We're gonna pick up 2 Kings 6:15. When the servant of the man of God got up and woke up, went up out early the next morning. He saw an army with horses and chariots that surrounded the city. He cried out, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, open up his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of chariots and of fire all around Elisha. You see, that would be like us walking out of our house knowing that a battle is about to come, that a foreign enemy is about to invade Glendora, right? And we go to downtown Glendora, and it's an early morning, and we go to Classic Coffee, or we go to Clatch, or wherever we go, and we get our coffee, and we step outside, and we look to the right towards the mountain. I know it's a foothill, but I call it a mountain. We look to the mountain, and we see giant army of chariots and all sorts of, you know, armies and men, and they're just outnumbering. They're surrounding us. That's when I poop my pants and run away like a little baby, right? I'd be freaking out. That's exactly what the servant does. What are we gonna do? And God opens up his eyes. And he sees another army that's even bigger than the one he saw first. Except this is God's army. And they're on fire. And eventually God leads his people to be victorious over their enemies. And that same God will lead you to be victorious over the enemy. But we have to be willing to follow Jesus. We have to open up our eyes. A couple weeks ago, I was out at Lake Havasu I've never been there before. It's kind of a cool place. We took our seventh graders, now eighth graders, on a small group retreat to this Lake Havasu, and we went out on for the weekend. Went on a couple boats, and we're out in the middle of the water. There's a picture here that's about to pop up that shows this giant rock formation that was in the middle of the lake. And so we're driving up, and so from the boat, this is the picture of this rock. And so the kids are climbing up, and they went up, and they're jumping off the rock into Lake Havasu. And from the boat, it looked awesome, right? It looked super easy. I was like, I can do that. And they're like, yeah, do it. So I swim out. It was really cold. It was in May, so it was a little daunting. But anyway, get out to the rock. I climb up, and I'm like just jettying up the rock. And I'm getting to the top, and I'm like, this is going to be great. I can't wait. And they're like, yeah, you got it. And I get to the edge. And I'm like, no, I don't got it. Right? Like, that was really high up. Like, from the boat, it looked all right, but, like, when you get up to the top, and I'm looking over the edge in the water, and they're like, just jump, and I'm like, no. So I, like, turn to kind of walk back down, and I was like, no, that looks terrible, too. I don't want to go back down. So I kind of close my eyes, and my stomach is churning, and I'm trying to make that leap of faith. And then one of the middle schoolers, of course, like they always do, they're always like, don't be a baby. Just do it, right? Even the girls did it. Okay, well, I guess I got to do it now. So I open up my eyes, and I'm like, this is so scary. I'm like, right, I'm about to cry, right? And all these kids are like, you got it. And I make that jump, right? So I'm the super white guy in the picture, if you can't tell. I jump in. It actually was really cool, right? Like, I hit the water. Didn't feel that great. But after, I was like, that was awesome. And I went up and did it again, and that was done. But, you know, there's a lesson behind that, because sometimes we get to that point where we have to make a decision whether we're going to go all in, right? And a lot of times we're kind of scared to make that step. You see, the same Peter who led thousands of people to follow Jesus was the same Peter who rejected Jesus after he died, who said he never even knew the man, who had a big mouth, who was kind of a troublemaker, and the same guy who, when he was out on the boat in the water with Jesus in front of him, had trouble stepping out. Right, because the waves were coming and the wind was going and the storm was brewing and he was kind of scared to step out of faith into out of that boat. And Jesus said, Peter, focus on me. And as soon as he did that, he stepped out onto the water and he walked on water. That same Peter, who had trouble stepping out of the boat, eventually led thousands of people to know Jesus. We have to check our method. We have to get dressed for the party. And we have to open up our eyes. My friends, this morning, I know that God can do something supernatural. We've seen it, we see it today, and we'll see it in the future. We have to be willing to embrace that as a church. And so this summer, I want to give us one challenge. I want you to go home today and tomorrow and the next day, and for the next couple of weeks, I want you to dare God. I'm giving you permission to dare God because Scripture already gave us that permission. Dare God to do something powerful and supernatural in your life. Some of you experienced that and came up to me after the last service and said, I've seen the supernatural and it's awesome. And that could be every one of us in this room. And if we do something supernatural, we will change the course of this city. Dare God. I'm going to pray for us, and I want you to pray along with me. I want you to pray along with me, daring God to do something miraculous. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for doing powerful and miraculous things in our lives. And so God, we dare you to do something supernatural today or tomorrow or this summer. Do something supernatural in our life. We dare you to do something powerful. We dare you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Now, will you help us welcome others to Real Life? Share our podcast or find us on Instagram or Facebook at Real Life LA. If you'd like to become a supporter, please visit reallife.la and tap Give to help us welcome everyone to Real Life. God bless and have a wonderful day.